How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday. 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. What a day! It is Money in the Bank. The WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view is taking place moments after the show goes off the air. And so, of course, today it will be our Money in the Bank preview show. We're going to go over all of the matches on the program, talk about all of the details, and more. Money in the Bank is actually one of the more exciting WWE pay-per-views of the year, not just because there are Money in the Bank wild, crazy ladder matches, but in recent years, when we have done this show, we have gotten more calls about Money in the Bank. And sometimes it's because things are going on, for example, with CM Punk when the Summer of Punk thing happened a couple of years ago. But today is very interesting because we not only have a ladder match for the World Heavyweight title, the WWE World Heavyweight title, but we have a Money in the Bank ladder match as well, where the winner gets a briefcase that they can cash in at any time for a WWE World Heavyweight title shot. Now, why is that interesting? Because there's like 8 guys that could win the title today. Now, realistically, it's probably only going to be 1 or 2 of them. We'll talk about that here on the program. But in theory, there are 8 different guys that can win the title. Obviously, a lot to discuss. Also, there are another 8 or so guys that could win the Money in the Bank briefcase. And it's a little more open field, but it seems there are, again, only a couple that might win. But you never know when they might throw in a swerve. So on top of that, whoever wins the briefcase could, in theory, cash it in at the end of the show for the title. So when you think about all of the different possibilities, there's a million things that could happen on the show today. We're going to talk about that, plus Chael Sonnen, the TNA Impact tapings in New York. So much stuff to talk about today. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. For those of you calling right now, chill out for a while. We'll be taking phone calls in about 10 minutes. We got a lot of stuff to get into here at the beginning of the program, however. After the next break, I will open up the phone lines, however. So the phone number will be 855-478-4478. Once again, that is 855-478-4478. You can put that number in your phone, or if you forget the number, head to WrestlingObserver.com, and there it is right there on the front page anytime you need it. So no phone calls for a moment, but they'll be coming up in about 10 minutes. Mike! How are you doing after a long night last night?
I'm doing okay, although I am still working on the audio file, which is currently up on the site right now. It was Dave Meltzer and I doing about an hour and a half long show, and we had some audio issues that I'm working on, so I plan on saving those before the end of the night, unless Money in the Bank is just too strong to pull me away.
How apropos, the man behind the Big Audio Nightmare had yet another Big Audio Nightmare.
Hey, I'm learning all of this stuff on the fly. I'm not exactly a technical wizard here in my advanced age. I've just went from a Mac to a PC and all that other stuff. So the winds have changed in my technological world.
And a PC to Mac is what he's trying to say, everybody.
Struggling to keep up here.
Yes.
Now my whole house is Apple. I'm staring at my iPad right now, watching the Money in the Bank pay-per-view from last year, which is airing on the network. I've got my iPod here, my old iPod, with the timer on it, and I've got my phone with my wife texting me. So a complete Apple household.
That's
so if
right.
Anything happens to them, I'm in trouble.
That's right. And for those of you wondering about last night's show, I have been working with Mike, and hopefully in the future we will not have any Big Audio Nightmares here on the website anymore. So we are working to get that fixed. But thank you, Mike. I was at Vinny's wedding. For those of you that listen to the other shows on the website, Big Vinny V did, in fact, get married. We will have full coverage of his marriage, actually, on the Tuesday Brian and Vinny show.
Now, Brian,
yes.
Because I'm watching this right now with Mark Henry attacking John Cena, did Vinny have on a salmon dress jacket or a salmon color tuxedo like Mark Henry did?
No, he did not. He had a very nice professional tuxedo on, and it was very nice. Although anybody who knows Vinny that is listening to this right now that did not go to the wedding, it was everything that you would expect in a Vinny V wedding, all the way down to an outdoor wedding where it began raining right in the middle of the vows. It was exactly what you would expect. Also, a lot of comedy and humor. Vinny on his Facebook has said it was the best wedding ever. His best man, Jim, who he's known since infancy, I believe, gave a toast that may have been the most accurate toast about anybody I have ever heard in my entire life. It was awesome. And we'll talk about all of that stuff coming up on Tuesday. So that will be the wrap-up show. It's not taking place tonight, everybody. Vinny is still celebrating. I can confirm he's alive, but he is still celebrating. So it was a fun time. Mike, today is Money in the Bank. And again, as always, these phone lines are just going crazy. I don't know why people don't listen to me, but we'll be taking those in a moment. We're going to preview Money in the Bank here on the program, and there's a lot of very interesting matches to go over. But just very quickly before we get into it, because I don't know if we'll have time at any other point during this program here today, given the preview, what's going on with Chael, the calls, etc. Give us a fast and furious quick review of what happened at the UFC shows yesterday.
Stuff. There were a bunch of fights and things, and at the show in Texas, Basie Cub Swanson kept his winning streak alive. Now it's up to six fights, defeating Jeremy Stephens with a decision. Again, keeps him in line for, if it's not going to be the next title shot at 145 pounds, it's probably going to be the one right after that, as Jose Aldo will be facing off against Chad Mendez in the, this is going to be the second time they fought. Aldo knocked him out in the first round, the first time around, but he's going to be fighting him. And then coming up, when is it tonight? I'm not sure. I think it may be, BJ Penn is going to be facing off against Frankie Edgar in the finals of an Ultimate Fighter that, I'm not going to say nobody watched, but I certainly didn't watch it, which is why I have no idea when the final is, but there's a possibility that the winner of that fight could also get the winner of Aldo and Mendez. So Swanson keeping himself in that mix, and he certainly has earned it. The show over in New Zealand, which took place and was all done by about 8 o'clock Eastern time yesterday morning. James Tahuna was completely taken apart by Nate Marquardt, who looked fantastic. So those were the main events of that. Really, the biggest news is the fact that the New Zealand show was a fight pass show, and they're going to be pushing those a lot more. And Chael Sonnen tested positive for EPO and HGH, which is going to lead to a July 24th, I believe it is, hearing in front of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, which is on top of the two drugs he was already popped for and that he was taking to get off of TRT. So obviously a lot of people were thinking, Chael Sonnen, after the 9 months, you know what, UFC, the way things go, he'll probably end that retirement and come back. I don't think at this point you could possibly have him come back. And I guess it also raises a question to the UFC and to Fox as well about what you do with him.
I'll tell you what you do with him. He doesn't fight anymore. I'm astonished.
But what about his TV gigs? I think that at this point probably is more impactful than the fighting stuff, because
that's not on UFC. That'd be on FS1. I presume. I mean, he's been.
Yeah, but his job is a cheerleader for UFC, so I think it plays in there a little bit. I mean, do you smack him on the wrist at all more than the commission does?
I don't know. I'm astonished that he managed to be like probably one of the five people in all of history that managed to fail for growth hormone. I mean, it's astonishing that he managed to do that. EPO as well. Listen, I'm going to keep this quick, because there's not a lot to say, but when Chael claimed that his most recent drug test failure, but it would actually be the one prior to his most recent one, when he was talking about the drug test failure, and he claimed that he was taking these drugs because a person should take these drugs when they're coming off testosterone replacement therapy. Okay, guess what? He's right, all right? If you're coming off testosterone replacement therapy, you are going to be prescribed those particular drugs. However, if this guy tries to claim that he was prescribed EPO and human growth hormone as a way to transition off TRT, then I don't ever need to hear this guy again. This will be, I mean, these are clear, flat-out attempts to enhance your performance, these two drugs, EPO and HGH. There's no other reason to be taking these drugs. I don't think this guy needs to ever fight again. And you know what? It does kind of, it really does make you, two things here very quickly. Number one, once they got rid of Keith Kaiser and they redid the Nevada State Athletic Commission, I mean, the steps this new commission has taken to try to catch people, more power to them. They managed, I don't know if they did it on purpose, but he was tested in Las Vegas. And then apparently he went home to Oregon and I mean, I don't know, but it would appear based on the second failure that in his mind he must have thought, well, they just tested me, so I'm fine to do whatever now because it's unlikely they're going to come to Oregon and test me again. Well, guess what? They did! And they got him. So that's number one. Big congratulations to the, I don't know if congratulations is the right term, but I am very bullish on this new Nevada State Athletic Commission and the steps they are taking to attempt to clean up a sport which cannot be cleaned up at all. But also it is something else that they did a test for EPO and HGH, and they went to the guy's house to do it. And obviously, I mean, I don't know if this is a defense of Chael, but I strongly suspect Chael is not the only guy in this company doing stuff like this. So maybe this will be an eye-opener to everybody in the company about what they're doing and the fact that, they can be caught. We'll talk a little bit about this after the break, and then Money in the Bank. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the Internet at WrestlingObserver.com. I had to X out the phone lines during the break because, actually it was prior to the break because everyone just kept calling, even though I politely requested you not. Well, guess what? Now you can call! 855-478-4478. We will be taking your phone calls for the next 2 hours. Also, we will be previewing the WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which is coming up moments after the show goes off the air. We'll talk a little bit about the pre-show as it's going on, but I am here live, so I can actually hear what's going on television, and I believe the pre-show is solely an interview with Daniel Bryan. So maybe some of you on Twitter can do play-by-play during the Daniel Bryan interview, and we will talk about it here on the air for those that cannot listen at this moment to the Daniel Bryan interview. So that's coming up.
They have closed captioning on this here thing.
Do they really?
I don't know. Let me see.
You try and figure that out. I'll go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is Shane from Orange County.
Shane, what's up?
Hey, nothing much. How's it going, Super BB?
What's
happening, man?
He's trying, yeah.
There we go. Hey, I don't know if you've been able to pay any attention to the Battle of Los Angeles for PWG news at all, have you?
I have not, but I've heard some of the, well, I guess I've heard some of the names for the tournament, but what else is going on?
Well, yeah, it's going to be a three-day tournament, and yeah, it's 24 people. So far they've announced 16, including you got AJ Styles, Matt Sydal. I got the whole list here if you want to hear everybody. But
all right, let's hear Matt Sydal, by the way, everybody, is Evan Bourne. Go over the list of names.
All right, so it's Matt Sydal, Drew Gulak, Trevor Lee, Chris Sabin's making his return, which should be awesome. Johnny Gargano, Kurt Hawkins, fresh off messing up AR Fox's arm, always good.
What happened there?
He did like some, it looked like he was going for like an attitude adjustment off the top rope. Onto the side of the apron, and it just completely popped out AR Fox's shoulder.
Oh, God.
He throws him back
These
in.
These dudes and their apron moves.
Yeah, why must we take bumps on the apron? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it didn't look good going into it, and you can even hear because this fan video of it, and you just hear the guy saying, please don't die, and all of a sudden it's just, yeah, arms completely messed up looking.
Oh, God.
Not good. But then you got Michael Elgin, Biff Bisquick, who I don't know.
Bisquick.
Kyle. Yeah.
Is he a pancake maker? What's the gimmick?
I have no idea with him. Huh. He's the only one I have no clue on.
All right.
But then you got Kyle O'Reilly, Brian Cage, a motorcycle driving by, ACH, Zack Sabre Jr., which I guess he's a European guy. Sounds pretty good. Rich Swann, Trent, Cedric Alexander, and AJ Styles. So, yeah.
That's pretty packed lineup right there. And still, how many more to go? Eight more?
Yeah, I still got eight more. So I'm super excited for it.
Well, I'm super excited to find out who Biff Bisquick is. That's somebody on Twitter. Let me know.
Yeah, there you go. And then, yeah, also they got on July 26th is their 11th anniversary show, and that's already sold out. That went really, really fast. So,
yeah, these guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, good times. Well, thank you so much, guys.
All right, thanks so much for the call.
Yeah, I know that the DVD market and things like that are down, and PWG, you know, talk about, and they obviously have issues with contracts and things like that with other guys where they can't put them on TV a lot of the time and things like that. But with that said, if there's a way to for them to be promoted more, if it's possible, somebody should do it, because their shows consistently, when they have lineups like this, tend to be the best of the independent wrestling in the country.
All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
What's up, Brian and Mike? It's Chris from Nacogdoches, Texas.
Chris, what's up?
Oh, not much. Just for the record, I wasn't one of the ones calling earlier before it was time.
That's so good. That's good.
Good man.
But I did get through first, so I don't know how that happened. But I got a quick question. Friday night, Eva Lees and Serena Deeb had a one-hour Broadway for the Shine title. And I was wondering if there's any other examples of a women's match going to a one-hour time limit draw. I can't think of any.
Women's matches? I think they had one in Shimura a while back, if I recall correctly. Didn't they have like a 90-minute draw or something like that?
I thought it was, Cheerleader Melissa, wasn't it? 75 or 90 minutes?
Yeah, it was something like that, yeah.
Okay, cool.
In Japan, it doesn't happen as much anymore, but it would happen all the time. And back in the day with women's wrestling, like the Grable days and those ladies back in the 40s, 50s, I mean, it would happen. Well, maybe more often half-hour time limits, but it would happen.
Okay, cool. I was just wondering about that.
Yeah, very very rare nowadays, but occasionally it happens. All 60-minute matches are rare these days, but...
Oh, indeed.
Unless you attend the Ring of Honor school, in which Mandy Leon, Mike, believe it or not, has done 60-minute matches in training. I swear to God,
I would love to see this.
So would I.
It's for
love to
many
be the opponent.
Reasons. I hope she's at the Future of Honor show that'll be taking place. I have every plan on going to see that out in. Towards the Briscoes next, the woods here in Southern Delaware for
right.
July 27th.
That's right. Chris, I want to thank you very much for the...
Mandy Leon.
What was that?
I said I'd love to see anything with Mandy Leon.
I know. Google is your friend. I want to thank you very much for the call. Man, we got a lot of people tweeting here. It is Biff Busick, not Bisquick.
Ah, that makes more sense.
Big difference.
Although somebody should be like a masked wrestler somehow in like the Georgia territory or something like that, some small indie group. Now, there's your idea, Bisquick.
Eric here says, anyone know if you can start Money in the Bank anytime tonight, or does it just stream at 5? You can start anytime after it begins. If you show up at, for example, 6 o'clock, you click on it on the WWE Network, and it will either ask go to live or go from beginning. And you choose to watch from beginning, and you can start it there. So, and then the replay will be on afterwards. So, there you go. Still a lot of questions, Mike, about the WWE Network. They have not apparently done the best job in the world explaining to people how this works.
You know, with my battles with technology over the last 24 hours, I'm not going to talk about anybody else.
Well, you're probably right. Money in the Bank is today, everybody, and it is the main event for the WWE World Heavyweight title. There are, what is it, 8 guys in this particular match? We've got Alberto Del Rio, Bray Wyatt, Antonio Cesaro, or as they call him now, just Cesaro, John Cena, Kane, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, and Sheamus. It is a ladder match for the vacant WWE World Heavyweight title. And obviously, if you have been following professional wrestling at all over the last couple of days, you are well aware that they have already released a poster for SummerSlam, and the main event on that poster is listed as Brock Lesnar versus John Cena, presumably for the WWE World Heavyweight title. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, one would suspect that that means John Cena is winning today's match. I know that some of you will be appalled at the concept of John Cena winning today's match. However, he's not necessarily going to win this match, and I'll tell you why. John Cena versus Brock Lesnar for the title is almost assuredly the main event of SummerSlam. I can tell you that as of a couple of weeks ago, John Cena was scheduled to win this match and become the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Now, because the poster has gotten out, there are two things that could happen. Number one, John Cena could still win, which to me is a somewhat likely scenario, because if you follow WWE over the last year or so, there have been several incidents where we knew full well who was going to win upcoming matches, and the company did not change the course of direction. They did not change the finish just to surprise people. They just kept going with what they had planned. Now, WWE did send out an email blast where they acknowledged the fact that this poster was out. So that to me means, A, they are trying to sell network subscriptions with the idea that if you buy the network today, you're going to see John Cena win the title. Obviously, for the youngsters out there who are big fans of John Cena and want to see him with the belt. That's number one. Number two, there is still one more pay-per-view between SummerSlam. That means that if they did want to surprise us, then any of the heels in this match, Alberto Del Rio, Bray Wyatt, Kane, or yes, Randy Orton, could win the title today, and then John Cena could beat them for the belt at the next pay-per-view, where he will then go on to face Brock Lesnar for the belt at SummerSlam. I think it's going to be Cena versus Brock one way or the other. Brock is going to win, and then as a way to entice people to buy the network, the September pay-per-view, which is right after the first renewal period, will be all about Daniel Bryan's big return to try to win back his WWE World Heavyweight title from the monster Brock Lesnar. That is my long-term booking scenario theory. What do you think, Mike?
I like it. I think it's a good one. And there's lots of different things, and that's what makes Money in the Bank, you know, in this year, such an intriguing thing.
Actually, you know what? Hold that thought, because we have a break, and I'll let you go on as long as you want when we come back. Stand by, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here is Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA, a radio network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, on the Sports Byline USA website, through the Sirius Satellite Radio app, the Sports Zone area, through TuneIn Radio, if you search Wrestling Observer or Sports Byline, the American Forces Network, the cable radio network, by far the most listened to pro wrestling / mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And for the latest news and information daily in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, daily radio shows. Mentioned it many times. If you like this show and you only get here once per week, you are missing out. Every single day, we do radio shows up at WrestlingObserver.com. And not only do you get all of these brand new radio shows as a subscriber online, but every single show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is in our archives right now. Thousands and thousands of hours of audio. It's only $10.99 a month. And again, for just $10.99, you can have wrestling and mixed martial arts audio, both up-to-date audio, daily shows, and look back at the past. We've covered every major show, every major story. We've interviewed all of the biggest names in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. It's all up there at WrestlingObserver.com. Free sample. If you head up there after the program today, just click the Listen Live button. Our latest four free shows are streaming online 24/7. We also have a TuneIn Radio channel. If you search F4W Live, thousands of people access that on a regular basis. You can hear the most recent free shows up there as well. So sign up today. We've had many people who have called this show and said, you know, I only used to listen to Observer Live. I signed up. I can't even keep up with all the audio. It's awesome. Thanks so much. So head up there and check that out, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, we were talking about Brock Cena, the main event of Money in the Bank. I will let you continue, and then we shall go to the phones.
So many things that could actually happen with this show tonight, which is why it makes it exciting. You know, Sheamus, he could win it as a quick off possibility if you're going to change the belt again sometime soon. You have, you know, Randy Orton winning it. Well, what does that mean now for the next pay-per-view? Do you do him against Reigns straight up? Do you do him against Cena? Where do you go when it comes to that? Again, there's just a lot of different ways it could go, and it wasn't as cut and dry as it seemed to me from before. But I still like the idea of Seth Rollins, winning his match. You know, Roman Reigns, I understand that you don't want to have, you know, Roman Reigns hurt or anything like that, but even though it would be a one-day title reign, I don't think it's that big of a deal if, you know, Rollins, because of the position he's in, to really not make him more than Roman Reigns, but solidify him as a killer heel, or not a killer heel, but the top of the WWE food chain. And I think that with Roman Reigns, I don't think it would really hurt Reigns all that much, because I don't know what does it really matter this day and age if he only has a one-day title shot, if there's a great story to go behind it.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Jim from Virginia.
I knew it would be you, Jim. What's up?
I heard the gentleman talking about the Shine 20 show Friday night. I just wanted to chime in and give some a shout-out to the new tag team champions. They got some old-school tag team champs. They got Malaya Hosaka and Brandywine.
My God.
They're called Legendary. They defeated the Lucha Girls, Mia Yim and Leva Bates. And
I thought Malaya retired.
That's what I did, too. She must have came out of retirement.
She's very Terry Funk-like, I think.
She used to wrestle up here for Tulalip, and I wanted to have a match with her, but I never got it.
And they've got an old-school manager, too, and the great Leilani Kai. So.
Well, you'd be the guy to ask. I know this guy here says Mercedes Martinez wrestled Angel Orsini to a 70-minute draw in WSU. What other 60-minute female matches do you remember, Jim?
Well, I tell you, he took my thunder. I was just getting ready to tell you that they wrestled for 60 minutes, and then they had a 10-minute sudden death period, and Mercedes won the match. As far as 60-minute matches, now Mike might be able to back me up on this. I believe during the 90s in Japan that Akira Hakuto and Manami Toyota wrestled for an hour draw. Now, I can't remember.
I think that they did. I mean, I remember a couple of long draws taking place in Japan, and that would, again, I don't know for sure off the top of my head, but that would make, you know, a lot of sense. If that was one of them, it would seem to fit.
Did you know if Melissa and Lefisto have a 90-minute or something like that?
I don't recall that. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't have happened. Now, Melissa's had a lot of long matches, and I think Lefisto has too, but I can't recall that. One other thing I was going to ask you about, I heard a shoot interview with Jim Ross this weekend. And I got to ask you, did Vince really crap his pants one night on Raw?
Well, that's what JR claims.
And he didn't even...
I wasn't there.
A lot of black coffee and meat will occasionally do that when you're under stress, I believe.
And he likes fart jokes, too.
Yeah, he's got some interesting likes and dislikes.
And I think the big thing out of when Jim Ross tells that story, it's that Vince just absolutely owned it and still went out Vince style, and show goes on.
The show must go on.
The cameraman was so scared they wouldn't even shoot his butt. So,
well, they probably made the right decision. I want to thank you for the call, Jim.
Easy.
Yeah, that one went off the rails there. All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Dave from Wisconsin.
Dave, what's up?
I got two questions, one TNA, one WWE. The TNA question is, what exactly are they thinking actually running in Japan? I know that it's going to be co-promoted with Wrestle1, and they're taking care of all the logistics outside of, like, maybe a talent salary, but, I mean, it's going to be, they're going to be recording their biggest show of the year, which, you know, fine. I believe you've already determined multiple times over that of live versus tape on pay-per-view doesn't matter, but mostly, what are they thinking, and will that pay-per-view be available live on Ustream? Because I believe that's how Wrestle1's running their stuff.
Well, hold on. First off, live versus tape makes zero difference on television. I would not say it makes no difference on pay-per-view.
Or would that be now? Because they always, I know Dave always references the SummerSlam from the UK.
Well, I mean,
and that would make no difference.
Well, that was 1992. I mean, we're talking today. I mean, dude, they run tape pay-per-views all the time. Nobody buys them. And obviously, you know, they're just shows in the middle of nowhere, no build to them or anything like that. But I think if you want to do a show from Japan where it's co-promoted and the other company is footing a lot of the bills and you're just going over there and you're going to get a good crowd and it's going to come off looking pretty good, then that's all great. You know, but for the biggest show of your year, I don't know. I think for the biggest show of the year, running in Japan on a tape delay, in front of, again, and Mike can answer this far better than I, but how are these fans going to react to the TNA guys? How are the TNA fans here in the U.S. going to react to the Japanese wrestlers when they're shooting angles? I mean, it's just all very weird to me, but I guess we'll see. Mike, what do you think?
You know what? I think they're in the position where realistically it's not going to hurt that this thing is actually taking place over there. In fact, in a way it may help, just because people will be interested to see how it looks, or if a hardcore wrestling fan wants to see Muda or something like that, just because, you know, you can do it and you can convince yourself. I, to be honest, I think with the position they're in, it's not going to hurt them all that much. Now, with that said, I wouldn't do it because why? You know, because we got to hold our biggest show of the year in Japan. I mean, if it's not like WrestleMania being run in Tokyo or something like that. I mean, that's a big deal and a big story with the position that TNA's in. Unless this is because of money, and if it's because of money, that makes complete sense to me. But that would be the only reason why, because with the time difference, if they streamed on the internet and people were used to watching them that way, it wouldn't be that, you know, it would make more sense because you could have a stream of it that you could purchase live if you wanted to. I don't know why. And with the Japanese wrestlers, when American fans watch a Japanese crowd, it's usually jarring to them if they're not, you know, familiar with how they're going to react to things. And the Japanese, why will the Japanese fans care about TNA? They really, for the most part, won't, outside of familiar people.
Cool. I'll be interested to see if there's any crowd sweetening for that. But secondly, I was just wondering, I know that that WWE still runs the free show, which also includes a match. And from what I understood, when the free show was free on YouTube, it was basically used to try and get last-minute buys. But now that the free show is only available on the network, why are they still running a match on the free show?
Dude, you're asking the wrong guy. I have no idea. I haven't understood. Once they stopped running the pre-show free, I've never understood what the point of it was. I've had people tell me that it is available elsewhere for free, like on I think they claim like on their Yahoo channel. If anybody knows right now, go ahead and tweet me. But I think it is available in some places. But it is odd to at least on television. I never hear Yahoo. All I hear is them promoting the pre-show on a network that I have to buy in order to see the pre-show. It's very strange. It's like TNA. When they run their best video packages on the show after I've already bought it.
All right, cool, man. Take care.
All right, thanks so much for the call. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Paul from Calgary. How's it going, guys?
What's up, Paul?
I just wanted to ask, have you guys been monitoring the betting lines for tonight's show and seeing what just occurred over the last couple hours?
No, but I'm glad you've called. What has happened?
Well, I tend to follow WWE pay-per-views, and what I noticed is, you know, in the hours leading up to a show, there tend to be massive, massive swings in the betting lines.
Sure.
And I've got some bad news. It's not looking good for tonight's main event. I don't know what they're doing or what they're thinking, but it's going to be, I don't know, it's idiocy.
What are they saying?
Over the last couple hours, and I guess anybody who wants to avoid spoilers, plug your ears. Kane has dropped from a 10-1 underdog to a 4-1 favorite to win.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You know, it doesn't surprise. Well, God, it really depends on what they want to do. It doesn't surprise me. If Kane wins, then obviously all it means is Daniel Bryan is going to be back sooner than later. Because Daniel Bryan is gone because of Kane in storyline. And so I'm trying to tie all of this together in my head. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Bryan is there and somehow he's going to win the Money in the Bank briefcase or something. And he'll immediately cash it in on Kane and win. I don't know. That is an interesting swing. Again, listen, I said it before. It doesn't really matter who wins the main event because most likely John Cena is beating that person if they're still going with the John Cena Brock Lesnar title match at SummerSlam. So, I mean, it may just be that they figure that Kane is the guy for John Cena to beat. Although I could have sworn I just saw him beat Kane like Monday.
Yeah, no, and that's the only thing. That's why I say it's stupid on their part because, you know, it's really nice to have a good main event for a pay-per-view like SummerSlam. And if Kane is the champion there, I mean, you know, God bless the guy. He's been around forever. But, I mean, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a two-star match, the best. You know what I mean?
Okay, now we're almost up at a break. Before we go, who is listed as winning Money in the Bank?
Seth Rollins, 15-1 favorite.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I wonder how they could tie Daniel Bryan into that as well if he's there. I don't think he's there, everybody. Don't, like, be buying the network because Brian Alvarez reports that Daniel Bryan is at the pay-per-view. I didn't do any of that. I'm just thinking on my feet. But any other interesting odds notes?
No, everything else is pretty straightforward and logical, as you'd expect. I mean, Rusev, 30-1 favorites, Stardust and Goldust, 41 favorites, Paige, 10-1. You know, nothing shocking.
All right, well, thanks so much for the call. We'll be back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez is here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here for the next hour, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts leading into the WWE Money in a Bank pay-per-view. We're going to be running down the card, more details. Is Kane winning? Obviously, that is the big story now as we head into the 4 o'clock hour here on the West Coast, 7 o'clock Eastern. A lot of people calling. In fact, I'm going to X you out right now, everybody. I apologize. But we're at least about 10 minutes away from taking phone calls again. When we come back at the top of the hour, obviously, we're going to be talking about this show. In about a half hour, Daniel Bryan is going to be on the WWE Network with a pre-taped interview talking about his neck injury. What is he going to talk about? What is he going to announce? When we come back from the break, we'll also talk more about this massive odds swing. All of the money is coming in on, of all people, Kane, who, by the way, I can tell you, was in the mix of late when discussions were made about who was going to be the next WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Obviously not a long-term champion. That belt is going to end up back on Daniel Bryan. Maybe not today, tomorrow, next week, next month, or even by the end of the summer. But that belt is going to end up back on Daniel Bryan. So whatever they do tonight, you've just got to think about Battleground. You've got to think about SummerSlam, where Brock Lesnar will be challenging for the title. And you've got to think about the post-SummerSlam pay-per-view, which is right around the renewal period for the WWE Network. So a lot to talk about, and we're going to kick it off after the hourly break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi is here on the line, as always. And, yeah, what are we talking about? What else? The fact that all of the smart money just came in, and it is being put on Kane as the potential winner of the WWE World Heavyweight title at Money in the Bank. Nothing is official till it's official, everybody. I know that the final script did just come in within the last half hour. The odds did swing. I guess we shall see what happens here tonight. If Kane wins, it sounds to me like Daniel Bryan in less than 30 minutes is likely to announce his imminent comeback to WWE programming. Or if they wanted to do a swerve, I guess Daniel Bryan, during his pre-show announcement, could say something to the effect of, it ain't getting better, and I'm not sure I'll never be able to come back. And then you do the big surprise return. He beats Kane for the championship, setting up not John Cena and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, but rather Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan, which, by the way, would lead to a very interesting situation, as one would think that Brock coming back at SummerSlam is to set up Brock winning the championship. Are they really going to strip Bryan of the title, give the belt back to him at the Battleground pay-per-view or whatever is coming next, only to have Brock Lesnar then beat him for the title at SummerSlam? Is Bryan going to beat Brock and Brock never gets his title run, at least anytime soon? Could perhaps Brock get a rematch at the September pay-per-view where he could then win the title? There are a lot of different ways they could go. A very intriguing show with both a Money in the Bank briefcase and a World Heavyweight title on the line. We're going to talk about that more when we come back from the break. Plus, take your phone calls. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone. Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Talking the WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view here today. Looks like we're about 20 minutes away from Daniel Bryan coming on the air and giving his first interview since he went down with his neck injury and was stripped of the titles. I guess, as they say, we'll see how it goes. I am not a fan of a guy in his first interview since being stripped of the biggest title in professional wrestling doing an interview on a pay-per-view pre-show. I mean, can you imagine if John Cena got a serious neck injury as champion? They stripped him of the title. He disappeared off television, and they announced his first interview back, everybody. It's going to be on the pre-show.
Well, you know
happen.
The spin of that. They're going to
Never.
Spin that as, hey, this is why you need to have the network. We break things on this.
Yeah, break it on the pay-per-view.
Well, you know, hey, look how they've treated them the whole time. I mean, it's funny. Money in the Bank from last year's on now. This is where a lot of this stuff really begun, and the interesting booking, I guess, depending on how you look at it, started taking place with him and, you know, the fight against the fan base.
Yeah, this is, actually it'd been going on for quite a while, but yeah, this was a big one. Let's continue on here with our Money in the Bank preview. The show is starting in 40 minutes, everybody, 45 minutes. We've also got the ladder match, as everybody is probably well aware. Seth Rollins, the favorite, as he should be, as well as Bad News Barrett, who is not in the match. I don't know if he'll be replaced by anybody or not. I guess we'll see. Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, Kofi Kingston, Rob Van Dam. Really, to me, I mean, it's Seth or Dean. Maybe Dolph, but I mean, come on. I would put my money on Seth, as everyone else is apparently at this exact moment.
Now, why would you put it on Dean other than he's been looking like a fool so much? That could be like the new, you're going to take a bunch of losses.
Oh, I wouldn't.
I mean, why Dean?
Why would I?
Yeah.
Just because he's fresh off the breakup. I mean, listen, he's a guy that is kind of being pushed as a kind of top guy, which I cannot say for Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, Kofi Kingston, or Rob Van Dam. So it's him or Rollins.
To me, it's all Rollins. And I guess if they do have a replacement for Bad News Barrett, I guess one would figure that would be The Miz.
The Miz is in the running. Christian is in the running. There were two other names I heard in the
running.
Big
Show, I think, was one of those.
That's right. I doubt. I mean, it doesn't matter because he's not going to win. I mean, you could do the Big Show.
Mark Henry would always make everybody happy.
Oh, yeah. Mark Henry was also a name. That's right. So
But nobody can Bo leave.
I wouldn't put Bo in there. I wouldn't put Bo in there. I've seen enough of Bo. Let Bo slowly work his way up.
He is 9 and Bo.
He's 9 and Bo. Don't screw that up tonight. We've got Rybacksel against Goldust and Stardust. What do you think of Stardust?
I'm not sure yet. I really like the Diamond Dust finishing move. Masato Tanaka used to use that, and I've always really liked that move, and I really appreciate Cody doing something so drastic and actually trying to work with a new moveset. I mean, I thought that was actually really cool with that said. And now I've also been a proponent of keeping them together. To me, if you're going to have a really bad feud between brothers, which every time they seem to be pulling the trigger on it, you know, I just wonder, is this really going to help anybody? Because if it's not going to really help Cody, keep him together as a team. I mean, you have a lack of teams there. You know, why not? And so if this keeps them together for a while, I'm completely fine with it. I'm not sure how I feel about, again, it was so drastic. I'm still not sure how I feel, but as far as him trying new moves out of the deal, not bad.
I guess tonight we'll find out where they go with these guys, by the way. If they get beaten, they're probably just going to break up and feud at SummerSlam. Although, I don't know how many times I've seen this match. It feels like about 100. But hey, we're going to see it again.
You know, if you're going to have the Ascension come up, which, I don't know if they are actually going to pull the trigger on that on a regular basis. But, you know, again, they have such a lack of teams. If you're not going to do anything with Cody, obviously he's the biggest one in the mix, why not keep them together?
Well, I don't know. I didn't think they should have attempted to break him up in the first place. But I think they've wanted to feud for a while. I mean, that's been talked about for WrestleMania for years. And they never pulled the trigger on it. So maybe they want to. I mean, you got to remember, Goldust was never supposed to be a television character as long as he's been a television character. It was supposed to be like a short-term run. You do a tag match with Cody. You break up. You do a match at WrestleMania. And then Cody gets the big push and it's all over. That was the plan forever. But the team got over and they kept pushing it back. And so really, I guess, you know, the reasoning, I would presume, is that this was just never supposed to happen. I mean, at some point, Goldust is going to be gone from television, which is really too bad because he's quite great. But that's kind of been their idea the whole time, and so I think that's why they're doing things the way they're doing them.
Stardust.
Yeah, Stardust.
It was drastic, hey, and it was something different. I got to admit, Cody as the cartoon character, although I really wanted Legacy, him and Ted DiBiase and Randy Orton to be more than what it ended up being. And I think they missed the boat a lot with those guys then. But as far as him being cartoon characters, which he has been plenty of times, the whole Dr. Doom thing with the nose, if anybody can make this work and be entertaining, Cody Rhodes can probably do it.
Hey, I think Cody's doing a fine job with it. He's clearly a comic book guy. He's getting to play a comic book character.
Did some interpretive dance.
Yeah, they're talking about him. I don't know. Also on this show is Big E and Rusev.
And don't tell me if you play. I know this kid played video games. This whole thing that they had no idea that it was Starman from the old, you know, wrestling game.
I brought that up and Dave shot me down violently.
Don't buy it.
I don't buy it either. I'm sure it's a little of everything. Big E and Rusev in a singles match should be short. I predict that Rusev is going to kill him. They had a match actually a while ago that it was short, but I thought it was fun. That was a great little battle.
Slammed into each other top speed.
Yes. Yeah, two big dudes running really fast and hitting each other as hard as possible for a short period of time. Two thumbs up. I do expect Rusev. In fact, if Big E beats Rusev, I don't know. They've lost their minds, I think.
The Booker and A-Rai opening with them staring at the microphones is very entertaining for these pre-shows.
Yes, and we'll get Lana.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
The only problem I have with the whole thing with Lana is they just it's drawn out so much and they push it so over the top. I mean, I love the Putin picture. Obviously, she dresses very nice, but they tend to drag those things out for too long. And it's like pushed a little bit too hard. And, you know, the long posing and the whole nine yards, it's just a little of this should be condensed. And I think it would be even better.
Yeah, I disagree. It's just branding. They're just trying to get people over. I mean, I can't tell you how many wrestling shows I've seen. I won't mention any names where nothing has an impact. It's just hey, here's a new guy. Now he's a wrestler. Just move on. He's just one of the guys now. Just take some time and just hammer it into people's heads. They're obviously...
Do you have to call her the Ravishing Russian? Look at her. You don't have to state the obvious so often.
Hey, this is what they do, Mike. It's how they get people... It's how they sell merch. It's how they attempt to get people over. Hey.
I think those legs are insured.
If they booked people better, more people would be over the way that they push them so hard and try to brand them. But unfortunately, you know, I still feel like I was right about Alicia Fox when I had that debate with Dave. And I said, listen, she's never going to get over losing. I don't care if she freaks out afterwards and celebrates after losing and people kind of get interested in it. She's never going to get over as a loser. Have her win and celebrate and then pour water all over her. Trust me, she'll get over. But yeah, too many people lose too much in this company. We're off track, and it's time for a break. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide. On the internet, WrestlingObserver.com, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, the TuneIn Radio app, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, I'm sure I'm forgetting a million of them, local affiliates, obviously, all over the United States. And hey, we replay 7 a.m. Monday morning, that's Pacific time, 10 a.m. Eastern. If you ever miss part of the show and you want to hear it on the radio, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, every single Monday. We are here talking the WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which is coming up. We're about 4 minutes away from Daniel Bryan doing an interview. For some reason, here on the network, I'm watching Paul Orndorff pile drive people. And then there's that one guy. Who is that guy, Mike? The preacher guy with the white fake mullet? Who is that?
Oh, God.
What was his name? Oh, man. Blast.
Gary Spivey?
Gary Spivey? He wasn't a wrestler. I don't know. He was a weird guy. Somebody on Twitter will help me out here that just saw that. But yeah,
Psychic Friends Network.
Something like that. We will be talking about this as well on the program. We got more matches to talk about here. Do you have anything else to say, Mike, about the Big E Rusev match and Lana, or shall we move on?
No, just I love Lana, because how can you not?
You can't not. Summer Rae versus Layla with Fandango as a special guest referee.
Could this lead to like some sort of thing with the women where they turn on him, or maybe he gets the last laugh because Sasha Banks comes out and he can be with her? I mean, there's got to be more to this than this two women fighting over Fandango. It's not about the match. It's about what happens afterward.
That's
what I'm not sure about.
They very easily could do some sort of storyline where the two girls are fighting over Fandango, and at the end of the day, he leaves them both for a third girl. That is absolutely not out of the question. I don't know who it would be. Let's see. Let me think about this.
As you do that, I will send in breaking news. I just retweeted a picture on Twitter from the filthy one, Tom Lawler, who is there at the TD Garden Center in Boston, Massachusetts. And he says, it looks like the briefcase is going to lead us off. I'm not sure if that's the case or not, but that briefcase is hanging over the ring. The ladder's everywhere. So we're about, what, an hour and a half away.
That's right. He did send a picture right there. I had another picture sent to me by Matt. He is also there, looks like in about the fifth row. And there are the two belts hanging above the ring right now. No entrance ramp for Money in the Bank. So it would make sense to kick off with the first Money in the Bank ladder match. And then in the main event, we would have whatever's coming. So any moment now, everybody, Daniel Bryan's going to be on the network. If anybody out there in the Twitter universe would like to give us updates on what he's talking about, I would greatly appreciate that. The Usos against the Wyatt family for the Tag Team Championships. I think at some point it is inevitable that the Wyatts are going to win the titles. Why not tonight?
Hey, ties into the main event tonight. Dave and I talked about this a little last night. Say Bray Wyatt wins tonight. You know, Bray Wyatt looks like he could be turning into a quote-unquote good guy, a baby face. And then what do you do in that case with the Wyatt family? Or do they split off? That would make the most sense. Dave suggested that they have somebody. I think I can't remember who it was on Twitter, and I apologize. Somebody mentioned like Kevin Sullivan. Obviously, they won't. But them with somebody else as Bray Wyatt's doing his own thing. You know, I guess bottom line, I don't foresee, again, why would the Wyatts not win the belts tonight? Nothing against the Usos or anything like that, but it's time for them to take the next step here. Whether they stay with Bray Wyatt or not, or no matter what it is, I think they should be the tag team champions.
Also, we have Paige versus Naomi for the Divas title. There's two things they could do. Number one, Naomi was in line to win the title at WrestleMania, which, by the way, talk about a long-term storyline on Total Divas that just got dropped. But she was in line to win it. She didn't. Paige won it the next night. They could put the belt on Naomi here, or they could do what they've been teasing, which is a Naomi-Cameron breakup where Cameron costs Naomi the belt. They could always do that. Or, you know, if they really want to do the swerve, Cameron helps Naomi beat Paige. They both turn heel, and Naomi is the Divas champion. I don't like the idea of Naomi as a heel. I don't think anybody's going to buy it. I think she's so likable on both WWE and Total Divas programming. So it's not the direction that I would go. But hey, number one, that is a match. And number two, Mike, you now have no excuse to not watch Total Divas. It is now on the WWE Network.
Yes, the first season, which I saw way too much of, unfortunately. I can relive those memories. I wish they would send Paige back to NXT, kind of in the same way that Bo Dallas did last year, I think it was, when he was brought up and debuted on SmackDown. It's just, if you're not going to do anything with her, I think you've done more harm than good. I think if you have her lose, you have the storyline, you know, later on when she comes back that she was only 21, she was unsure of herself, and that's how they had her booked for the most part anyway. I think it would be okay if Naomi wins the belt. You could do the thing with her and Cameron, whether it be tonight, whether it be on Raw, and have that moving forward, because I think people want to actually get behind Naomi, and she'll get good responses. She's somebody new and different. And again, it's nothing against Paige, because Paige is great, but if they're not going to use her to her full potential, much like Natty Neidhart, I would much rather see them in NXT working with Sasha Banks, working with Alexa Bliss and all the other girls that are down there, just to continue to improve, and sooner or later she'll get her shot back up.
Well, it looks like Christian is not going to be in Money in the Bank replacing Wade Barrett, because he is on the announced team here tonight, or at least the pre-show kickoff crew.
And Miss Renee Young has taken over for Josh Matthews, which is no surprise.
Yeah, Renee is there. That's right. Josh has been fired, which is astonishing to me if you listen to some of the commentary on NXT. But that is Alex Riley. We've got Renee. We've got Christian. And we've got Booker T. That is your announce crew there. And Daniel Bryan will be there at any time. I was actually in the middle of reading this tweet that we got right here, which is where it usually came from. This is somebody responding to I don't know what. The nicest ones usually play the best bad guys acting-wise for some reason. What does that have to do with anything? Did I miss the rest of my own? I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. Josh, who just tweeted me that I just read, explain what you're talking about here, my friend. One more match here to get into. No, I guess that's it. That's the whole card. Seven matches. The two ladder matches, the tag team title match, the women's match, the tag titles, Summer Rae, Layla, Big E, and Rusev. So there you go. That is the...
Apparently it may be changed, too. Maybe we won't be starting with the Money in the Bank match.
What are they claiming?
I don't know. Just there could possibly it has now been changed up to something else. Not sure what it is yet, though.
I see. All right, well, we'll talk about that. Phone lines are open. 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. And obviously, while we sit here waiting for Daniel Bryan and phone calls, we have a lot of news to get into. not the least of which is TNA doing 3 days of tapings in New York. New York at the Manhattan Center. Or was it the Hammerstein? They're in the same building. I forget exactly. Which one was it, Mike? Hammerstein?
Whichever one it was, I think it was the Hammerstein. Whichever one it is, you're not going to make any money at it.
Well, no, they're obviously not going to make any money. But in terms of the show, we were told that Wednesday night, they did not even sell out the 800 seats. I was told that Thursday they sold out and turned some people away. Friday night was sold out as well. I have heard from people who said, Brian, I know you're on a boycott. These are people who are there. I know you're on a boycott, but lift the boycott for these shows. Luckily for these people, I have only one more week on the boycott. I'll be in Vegas anyway, so I can't watch the show. And so it does look like I will be back in time to watch all of these shows. They did a lot of different angles, a lot of different storylines, and spoiler alert here, if you don't want to hear this, turn off the show now if you're at all concerned about TNA spoilers. They did, in fact, write off the Dixie Carter character when Bully Ray gave her a powerbomb off the middle rope through a table in the ring. So, Mike, apparently that character will be done at the end of these however many months of tapings they have taped in New York.
If she wanted to be done as a character, they could have sold the company a long time ago, right? Remember that?
I guess so.
No, what's also interesting about this, even though it's been getting a lot of rave reviews, apparently, Samoa Joe won the title, or there's a spoiler for you, over Loki and Seiya Sonata. And Seiya Sonata and at Wrestle 1 yesterday ran an angle with the Great Muta about him defending the title against him on July 6th.
Yeah.
Granted, you know it doesn't matter, but again, ironic considering they'll be going over there for their biggest show of the year. It shows you some of the moves that they make and some of the decisions. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They had to
scramble.
Well,
hold on. Let's talk about this after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. And we are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, Sports Zone, the TuneIn Radio app, Cable Radio Network, local affiliates. Besides satellite radio, obviously the American Forces and Cable Radio Network, so many different places to hear this show. And as always, for the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, daily radio shows. If you love Wrestling Observer Live and you only get to hear us one time per week, you are missing out. We do shows, sometimes two shows, sometimes even three shows on a single day. And as a subscriber, for only $10.99 a month, not only to get all of the new shows, every show that we've ever done dating back to 2005, nearly 10 years, which pains me to say sometimes, we have over 5,000 hours of audio in the archives. So much stuff there. You'll never run out of audio. All the new shows, all the old shows, all of the interviews, all of the big news stories, it's all up there in the archives. $10.99 a month. Plus, you get Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Figure 4 Weekly, our message board, all of that stuff only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. I've said many times, if you like this show and you only hear it once a week, you will love, I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check it out. We got a free radio stream as well if you want to listen to that and hear our latest 4 free shows playing nonstop. That is up there as well on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, you were in the middle of ranting when we went to commercial.
I can't even remember what I was ranting about now. Forget it.
Phone number, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. The phone lines are open from now until the end of the program. We are waiting for Daniel Bryan to begin talking on the WWE pre-show on the network. And Josh here did say, what I was talking about was Naomi being a heel. For some reason, the nice people can act like total heels perfectly for some reason, which is in fact correct, and vice versa. Sometimes some very not nice people can be great baby faces. And I'm talking about myself. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Matt from Phoenix.
What's up, Matt?
Hey, just a couple quick questions. So what's going on with that Bo Dallas character now? He originally debuted and he was a heel, and then now they've been having him go against heels now. So did they turn him already?
Well, I don't know if it's been an official turn. I know he's been working again. I know he's been working as a babyface on the house shows. And a lot of the times when he comes on television, he's been getting a babyface reaction. So if you ever watched NXT, I mean, Bo doing the exact same character was hated on the NXT show. So I think they figured when they brought him up doing the same character, especially since there are a lot of people that are cheered in NXT, and when they get brought up to the main roster, they don't always get the same reaction. So I think they figured, obviously, if we bring him up, he's going to be a heel. But for whatever reason, he's been getting a big babyface reaction, and so they may just have him be a babyface doing that character.
Yeah, it just seems like they never know what they're doing when it comes to that. So, but what's going on with Jarrett and the Global Force? Is that what it is, the wrestling? What's any updates on that?
Okay, I cannot confirm this, so do not take this as 100% fact as of tonight. We'll probably have more tomorrow. But somebody did tweet me earlier today, and they said that Jeff Jarrett had applied for a promoter's license in, I forget what state. I'll try and find it here on my Twitter timeline. But regardless, he had applied for a promoter's license, and he had specifically named Toby Keith as working with him. Here we go. Jarrett applied for a promoter's license in Kentucky and mentioned Toby Keith by name as involved. So again, that is just somebody on my Twitter. I am following up on that. We'll probably know soon. But one way or the other, the idea has been for a long time that him and Toby Keith were working together. Obviously, the rumors are that they'll try and get something on country music television, CMT. Obviously, there's something coming, probably this fall.
I'll say this, the video packages that they use and the music that they use better be top-notch. I would figure that would be one thing that they would be very, very good at. As dumb as it sounds, you know, TNA, how many theme songs can you remember off the top of your head in TNA that, you know, I don't know, Beer Money and maybe Kevin Nash's or something like that? You know, that's one of the things, as dumb as it sounds, the aesthetics of a show like that could always use improvement, and that's probably something they'll be very, very good with.
All right, anything else?
Oh, no, cool. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, thanks so much. Yes, Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling remains a standby situation, although I would strongly suspect that that Toby Keith is involved and that a lot of the rumors are probably likely true, but until they are confirmed, they are, at this point, just rumors, and so we shall see. All right, any moment now, Daniel Bryan is coming on, and we'll see what he has to say. We've run down all of the Money in the Bank matches for the program. This is coming up in 15 minutes, and it is interesting here. Michael notes, since they are showing the video package of previous Money in the Bank winners, he notes they really aren't showing CM Punk in any of the Money in the Bank history videos. That's right. I've talked about this for a while. I don't know why some people still don't believe me, but I mean, yes, maybe you can never say never in wrestling. Maybe he'll be there tonight, but I would bet a lot of money that not only will he not be here tonight, but I don't think you're ever going to see CM Punk in WWE again. And I know that I had a very contentious argument with Todd, which Todd got very upset during. Regarding this topic, but I stand by it. I don't think you're ever... He is going to get maybe not quite the Randy Savage treatment, but he, I feel, in their minds, burned his last bridge, and he's history.
And more than that, neither side needs the other. It's not... I like how people will fall back, and I didn't hear that conversation with Todd, but I know a lot of people will say, well, it's about the money.
Actually,
look at what Vince does. You know, it's like, well, this is a little bit different. Punk doesn't need their money, and this isn't Vince. This is Stephanie and Triple H, especially Stephanie, who is still living. And yes, they will do things for money, but with that said, not every situation is exactly the same. And again, at the end of the day, period, they don't need each other. And why would he come back?
Speaking of comebacks, guess who's on his way down to the ring?
Daniel Bryan
live here.
He may be tipping his hand here. He is going down, full jumping, full double fingers over the head. No stiffness there, at least. He's jumping around like a madman.
No neck brace. All right, Mike, I will be going through my Twitter here. Anybody listening that would like to update what Daniel Bryan is talking about during the interview, let us know, and we will let everybody know live here on the air what is going on. This right here, Phil just sent this in. Jim Ross kills the rumor about working with Toby Keith and Jeff Jarrett on new wrestling promotion. I guess it was a rumor that Jim Ross would be involved. I have not read this yet, but apparently he's saying that he will not be involved. I will try to... let's see. Oh, I guess he's talking about his own involvement. I'm kind of looking at this here as we go along. Daniel Bryan is in the ring right now. He looks very happy. Everybody is going crazy for him. They're chanting his name. He looks quite pleased to be back. This is his first interview. The people are not letting him speak.
Michael Cole is laying back, not even trying to get a word in with him.
Yep, this guy is a very popular guy. It's funny. He's I guess we shall see. He's if you look at his television numbers, they're very good. He's nowhere near surpassing John Cena as a house show draw or anything of that nature. But he is a very, very popular guy. We'll see what happens. He has been booked very badly ever since WrestleMania. But maybe
before that.
Before that as well. But maybe he is a Ric Flair-style guy where people love him so much that no matter what you do to the guy, he's just always going to survive it and be over. We won't know for probably a while, because my guess is that they will always kind of book him in a way very different than that of John Cena. He is never going to be... pushed like a superhero. He'll always be pushed as an underdog. And traditionally in WWE history, they have not been great about about pushing guys as underdogs. So we shall see. Mike, did you find out if the WWE Network does closed captioning?
It's not working for me, at least. It does come up that in second audio programming. It's not working on my iPad, so I wasn't going to fool around with it. And Daniel Bryan's got the official gear on of an injured person too. They always seem to be careful if somebody's actually legitimately out that they don't usually rock their shirt, and he doesn't have any official WWF merchandise on, just in this, again, much like Mark Henry. Would you consider that a salmon colored striped shirt?
It does. It's very hard to do commentary on something that, that we can't hear, but oh, thank God for Filthy Tom Lawler. Bryan says he does not know about a return, and he may require another surgery. Now, it's tough in wrestling because you don't know who's telling the truth and who's lying. But the story, the real story, supposedly, is that Daniel Bryan got his neck surgery. He started working out, and he found that one of his arms was not only not improving, it was getting worse. And so there was concern about what had happened with the surgery, and there had been talk that maybe they had to go in again, that maybe he would get a second opinion. So that is the official story. If Kane is in the running to win the title tonight, then my guess is that maybe we have not been told the truth, or maybe it's not quite that serious. I mean, trust me, if Kane's winning tonight, Bryan's got to be coming back soon, because it cannot be planning like a long-term run through SummerSlam with Kane as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. So I guess we shall
see. Battleground next month.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if Kane wins tonight, I can only presume that Bryan is better than they are letting on, and that he's going to win the title at Battleground. I mean, I cannot imagine, like, Kane as champion, Kane defending at Battleground, Kane going on, like, Kane versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. There's no
Kane
way that's happening.
Swagger after Swagger wins Money in the Bank.
Sure, yeah. I don't see any of this happening. So I guess we will see. We're going to head to a break here in a while. We'll try to get an update during the break about what Daniel Bryan is talking about here. But as noted, we are 8 minutes away from the WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And there are a lot of matches we've gone over earlier today. There you go. Hugh here says, great to see Bryan so happy to have been stripped of the WWE title. Let me tell you something about Daniel Bryan. I don't know Daniel Bryan. I haven't talked to Daniel Bryan in maybe years, but I have met Daniel Bryan and I've hung out with Daniel Bryan. And I can tell you that what you see right there on television, that's Daniel Bryan. This guy is always in a good mood. He's always smiling. He's always laughing. It is difficult to get him down, and he's a really, really nice guy. The Daniel Bryan that you see on Total Divas, if you want to go see Total Divas on the WWE Network, that's Daniel Bryan. So none of this should surprise anybody. This is the way the guy is. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. All right, we are back here for the final segment of the show. Bryan Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Sometimes I get upset when things happen, and it's like, how did I not see this coming? But in fact, as Daniel Bryan was there talking about his future, out came Bo Dallas, who gave him an inspirational pep talk about how he just had to believe, and then someday he would return. And of course, that led to Daniel Bryan, I guess, telling him to, Bo, he said, leave. Is that correct, Mike? You heard it.
Yes, that's exactly what he said.
No physical angle.
Called him Boner, so fans I could see counts could start chanting that, and there was a little look on Bo's face that the thought went through his mind and actually sunk in very quickly. This is what they could be chanting at me for the rest of my career.
Yes. So there you go, everyone. That is the final build to the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. At the end of the day, Bryan said virtually nothing, only that he did not know about a return, may require another surgery, and he picked Cena, Orton, and Roman Reigns as his picks for tonight. So there you go. Money in the Bank is starting in just a moment, everybody. Later on tonight, first off, head-to-head with Money in the Bank, Dave will be doing live running play-by-play on the front page at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check that out. Later in this evening, no Bryan and Vinny show tonight. Vinny got married yesterday. He is out gallivanting. I believe he did a Kiss concert, if I recall correctly. So we will have the big Bryan and Vinny wrap-up show only for subscribers on Tuesday night. Also tonight, only for subscribers, myself and Dave Meltzer running down all of the matches at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, talking all of the news, what's going on with Chael Sonnen. So much stuff coming up. Maybe a big show tonight. Only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. I will be tweeting here and there on Twitter during the show, so follow me at Bryan Alvarez. Thanks to Mike. Thanks to everybody at Sports Byline. Back next week with a new show. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.